relate to one another, learning how to relate to God. And it's a bit of a difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is about the inside. It's about our character. It's about displaying somehow the character of God, where the gift is about serving. It's about showing somehow through our service how God looks like, how His love is, compassion is, grace is, forgiveness is. Where through the fruit of the Spirit, we show the character, the goodness in a very, in the way we are, not in what we do, but who we are. And it's a very, very interesting comparison. And I'm going to look at this during this season, during the spring, at the fruit of the Spirit, and then in the autumn we're going to look at the gift of the Spirit. I probably wanted to do them the other way around, so that autumn seems to be associated with the fruit, with the grapes and everything else. But as I was preparing for this last year, and I was planning for this, I thought, no, actually, it's the character that comes first in our lives before what we do through our gifting that God has given us. And I think some of the fruit of the Spirit, you can see them displayed through that with the Scripture. And I think they're coming up. Look at that. Peace, love, joy, patience. They're all here in Galatians. Kindness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. I want to go back to that one. I don't know why it's going so slow, but is there. There it is. Joy, gentleness, patience, self-control. Those are things, and I think the more I've been thinking about it, the more I've been preaching about it, it's something that you hear that I have to display, to give to others all the time, to show kindness, to show gentleness, to practice patience to others. But let me challenge that this morning. What do you usually do if you see a bowl of fruit? You take one and you eat it, don't you? And you taste it, and if you like, you'll have another one. The fruit of the Spirit is for us as believers to see and taste how good God is. It is only when we taste the goodness of God, His gentleness, and experience His patience and mercy and compassion, that then we are able to say, come and taste and see how good the Lord is. How good the Lord is. And this morning, I want to start with that first one, with love, the first fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting that it says, fruit, no fruits. So they're all in one, fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, it's all those. Joy, gentleness, patience, self-control. And as we look at love, the first one, I'm not qualified to talk. I'm not sure whether you, any of us here are qualified to talk about love as such. Love, that God is love. And we've seen how God show us His love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. This is how what God is like. This is what love is like. He sent His one and only Son to die for us. So why does then love in our lives goes from exciting, you know, when you first go out and date and, you know, you're all excited and, you know, you can't have enough of her, she can't have enough of you, love letters and messages and texts and everything else, all that kind of incredible excitement. And then it goes after a few years to exhaustion. I know. And then suddenly to say for some to expire it, and it does. Excitement, exhaustion, expire, because love always takes two to tango. It's about giving, it's about sacrifice, it's about learning to be not so selfish, to be generous, to be kind. They're all linked together. The fruit of the Spirit, self-control, bringing peace, joy in the situation. So we're going to talk about all this. I've got a long sermon here, but we got communion this morning. I haven't got the time to go through my whole sermon, but I'd like to ask a few questions with you this morning. And one of them is this: what is love? Some people say that love is only a feeling. That all there is to it. This feeling is a quiver kind of in my liver, an ocean of emotion. And that's all there is. It's that kind of excitement about it, and you're going to continue that exhaustion phase. It's just a feeling. But I think the love is more than a feeling. It affects my feelings, yes, indeed, very powerfully, but it's more than that. Some people say that it's very uncontrollable. The Bible says that no, love is very controllable. I can't just wake up tomorrow morning and feel like I don't have any more love for God, for Sandra, for my work, for whatever it is. Love is controllable. I get to choose whether I love or not. So what does God say about love? God says two things about love: that love is a choice, and over all these virtues. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 13? If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, the great, wonderful passage. Look at that. I can even find it so quickly in my Bible here. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing, absolutely nothing. Love is, listen to this, patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud. How are you doing on that one? Yes, I know. You're all good here. You're the Lord's saints. Love does not keep a record of wrong, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. How are we doing on that one? Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there's knowledge, all this stuff, all the knowledge that you can get, I'm sorry to say, it matters nothing. All the knowledge that you get, it matters nothing to those who are mentally challenged. All our religious acts and exercises matters absolutely nothing without that small little four-letter word called love, whatever we mean by that, whatever we want to make of it. And now this three remains: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Love is a choice, as love is a matter of how we conduct ourselves. It's, look at this, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Boy, that is difficult. That is difficult. It's lovely to love here, listening to a sermon, and to feel lovey-dovey, and to be incredibly close to God. Well, it'll be more difficult when you have to face someone at work, somebody in traffic. I was yesterday in London visiting our eldest son and celebrating with him his birthday. And I was find myself in a place where about 5 years ago, I met a gentleman because I was going to national parliamentary prayer breakfast. And on that morning, I was wearing the collar on me, the clerical collar. It was about 5 years ago, it's just before COVID. And as I got to Houston, I went to the toilet, and then as I was coming to the toilet, there was a huge, massive queue of other men trying to get into those horrible toilets in Houston. And as I come out, there was a group of lads in leathers, jeans, boots. They look like they are, you know, the angels of the Lord, you know, the ones that ride the bikes. And one of them says, "Oh, there's the father," because I was wearing the color. So I don't, yes. So they called me, one of them did a sign, and they said, "Come here for a minute, father." So there was, I think must have been about five or six of them in that group. But there was this one little one, a bit chubby, short. And this is the guy who just came and he put his hand on me, on my shoulder. He took me on the shoulder and he says, "So father, I only just want, I've got a request for you." Mm-hmm. Yes. So he told me what the request is. And then at the end says, "Can you pray for me?" So his hand was very heavy on my shoulder, pressing really hard, and he kind of pulls me away from this group of people. And I was, as he said, "Can you pray for me?" I was looking back to the others, "Can you pray for me just now?" I didn't do it, but I was looking in mercifully at them to see whether they can pray for me. Anyway, so he told me his story, what he was, a very tragic story. And I prayed with him just outside the toilets at Houston that morning. Why am I telling you this? Because whenever the fruit of the Spirit is displayed, not that I display any fruit of the Spirit at that moment, because I didn't want to be there really, and that stinking place, hot, so busy that I got even claustrophobic about it. But what I display in that case was the color. And almost the fruit of the Spirit is the color that God has given us, that we're wearing. The people see and say, "Hey, can you come and pray for me?" This is the best I can give you as an illustration of how God uses the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I don't have to shovel it into people's faces. I don't. Because love is patient and is kind and is gentle. But when it's displayed, people will want to grab some of that fruit and eat it. And as I say, you know, I didn't display any of that. The only fruit I think I displayed that morning was fear of that guy. The way they were dressed, man. I'll never forget his breath. Man. Is patient, is kind, isn't jealous, doesn't brag, is not arrogant, doesn't act unbecomingly, and is not provoked. How are we doing with that? Act like love acts. This is one of the second thing that I want to address with you before we share in communion, that, you know, this is the what the definition of 1 Corinthians 13 is. Love doesn't boast. It's kind, it's patient, it's self forgetting, and so on and so forth. We need to learn to do that naturally through who we are, as Anne just prayed this morning. Our identity is in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is for us to enjoy them, to taste them, and see how good God is. Rather than just be preached and be told, "Oh, you've got to have them, you've got to display them." It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. The character that God wants to build in us, it's something that we taste and need and take and help ourselves every day from the basket of His incredible grace and goodness. Love is patient. Yeah, do you know what that tells me? How do you spell patience? That small little word, time. You know, people need our time. If I were to ask you, when people ask me, and you know how it goes, "How are you today?" "Oh, I'm okay." "Are you really?" "Oh, I'm busy." And that's just, that's the end of the conversation. Because we all like to be busy, and we tell people we are busy. Patience, you spell it time many a times. It means to take time to listen. It means to take time to look into somebody else's eyes. Because when you have a conversation to someone and you look in their eyes, it means you matter to me. You care. I care for you. You take time. Love is patient. It really is. I find strength and motivation to be patient with other people. God's people usually are patient with me. Love is kind. I haven't got the time to go through all of them, but when it says love is kind, this is what comes to mind. The love cares, show a lot of care, show a lot of genuine support, shows a lot of genuine friendship. We do not befriend people in order to bring them into the kingdom, because that's not our job. God does that through us as we display some of that fruit of the Spirit. We just act as if we want to drug people. We'll do anything. We'll go the extra mile just to get them, to make them a project to become like us. That's not what God says. That's His job through the Holy Spirit. All I am called to do is to display some of that fruit, to enjoy His fruit. Love cares, always cares, because we are called to be kind people. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's care. That's love in action. The third one, love is secure. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is proud. I feel, again, as I'm praying this morning, secure with who I am in Christ. I feel safe. I don't have to run the world in order for people to like me. I don't have to be everything to everyone else for people to like me. No, I don't. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. I don't have to be someone else in order for people to like me or love me. I do care if people love me or like me, but I don't thrive on it. I don't try and earn it or gain it or display in order to get a reward. Through that? Not at all. Love is giving. This is giving time, is giving gifts, is giving whatever it is. Love, I think, is the most alive when it's not, or when it is self-sacrificial. Love is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. This is one of those definitions that is probably the hardest thing to do. We live in a society that we got everything, everything. Our children lack absolutely nothing. We lack nothing. We have everything we want. Sacrificial giving is what eventually builds a real relationship with people. When people see your generosity in time, in a coffee could be, in a listening ear, in a pastoral visit. Real love gives constant attention. Real love always gives time. Love is alive when it acts on what it believes, not just believes. Always protects, trusts, hopes and perseveres. I remember preaching from this passage of years ago, and then someone after the service says, what about me having to endure the abuse from my spouse? Can love then persevere? It's a hard one to answer, isn't it? I don't think it's honoring to God that we are a doormat, that we, for the sake of Christian image, stay in an abusive relationship, and this is not what that refers to. Love perseveres in the hardships of life, but not in an abusive situation or relationship. It never does. God is not honoring that. I can't see how God can be honoring that. And many people have put up with that because some of them have preached that it's wrong to divorce because you have to keep the Christian image. You better suffer the abuse, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, because love perseveres. That's between you and the Lord, but that's not what I think the scripture teaches. That's not what is honoring to God, for that matter. So how do I keep my love alive? And I'm closing with this. Don't take it for granted. Keep doing the things you like doing. Surely the Lord has given you the fruit of the Spirit. You've got kindness, you've got goodness, you've got gentleness, you've got patience. Some of us has been given in different measures, you know, patience especially to me. And there are a good number of people in this room that can tell you how easily it is for love to die and how hard it is to resurrect it again. If you have a love in your life that's working, that's really a special jewel, treasure it and don't take it for granted. Act in love always and not in fear or in the aim to please people. Act of who you are, from who you are, from the strength and the taste you have had from the goodness of God. You know, fear chains us, but love can transform us. Fear always chains our emotions, our relationships. It chains who we really are. But love releases us from that incredible fear. In order to love, in order to display the fruit of the Spirit, I need to feel loved. I need to keep on eating that fruit for myself. Today, some of you need to begin to discover that kind of love that God has for you. Probably even to trust Christ with His love for you. Love is kind, is patience, if patient, is forgiving. It's not self-seeking, it's self-controlled. Love is full of joy. That's no boast. And now all this three remains: hope, faith, and love. But the greatest of all, when we lost all hope, when our mind has failed us and we have no more faith and make no more sense of life, all is left is to feel the deep, deep love of God. And in the whisper of my soul to hear His voice saying, "It is well, it is well. It is well with my soul." I pray and hope that you will know the depth, the richness, the joy, the power that God's love brings at that level. At that level. If I speak in tongues, if I prophesy, if I possess everything in the world, if I know everything in the world but have no love, what does the scripture say? I am what? Nothing. I am nothing. That's who I am. I am nothing. Let's just pray. Father, as we reflect on this verse this morning, challenging yet very true, pray that in this place here right now, through your Holy Spirit, you will surround us, fill us with your love. We pray that we may continue to feed on the fruit of your Spirit. It is your fruit. It is your Spirit. We cannot, it's impossible for us to attain such fruit without allowing us to feed on it. Lord, we need it. I need it. I need love and joy and patience and self-control. I need goodness and kindness. I need to be more caring, to be even a better listener. Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit that we may enjoy the fruit of your goodness and mercy, compassion and forgiveness. I pray for every single brother and sister, for every single person present here this morning, that they will know deeply within their hearts how much you love them. And as they taste and experience that love, let them soak and enjoy in it. Let their souls and hearts be filled by the goodness of your forgiveness. As we come this morning before this table, we remember your goodness for feeding us with the broken body of Christ and quenching the thirst of our soul through the wine, the symbol of your shed blood on that cross. Lord, feed us forevermore at this messianic banquet. Feed us with your goodness of grace and mercy. May we taste that forgiveness and know how good you are. As we come before you this morning to take part in the symbolic table of your goodness, we ask for your Spirit to search us, know us, deeply dwell within us, to purify us, cleanse us, renew us, transform us, challenge us, and encourage us. So that we may walk in the Spirit, not gratifying the desires of the flesh, but displaying the fruit of the Spirit.